Oh, is that the
Yes.
Swindon equivalent of those milk things brain work?
Welcome to the Long Snapper podcast, brought to you in association with Blockbuster Norwich, bringing you all the latest releases on VHS as well as Betamax. I'm Adam. I don't know what I'm doing with this. I just thought I'd liven it up. We've got a sponsor.
One that's been bust for 20 years, but sure, let's go with it.
I bet Norwich still has a Blockbuster, just saying.
There is one still going, isn't there, in the world?
I think you might be right.
It's not like butt fuck nowhere in America somewhere. There is definitely a Blockbuster. And I think you can rent it as an Airbnb and stay the night.
That's where they're making most of their money these days.
Yeah.
That's pretty weird. That is quite strange. It's week one. We've had week one. I just thought I'd introduce us all, just in case we've got new listeners. We might have a new listener or two.
Bound to have some.
So I'm Adam. I am a Titans fan. You'd never know that from the professionalism that I handle this show. I wouldn't show any bias whatsoever. but each of you in turn, we have Pat Jackson, who is a Jags fan who started supporting the team 25 years before it became cool. How are you doing, Pat?
I'm good, thank you. Yeah, my heart rate's nearly back down to normal after Sunday, which is good.
Mark Salen is here, who's a Bills fan who does not understand the geometry of a football field. Evening, Mark.
I do know what a forward pass is.
It's not true. Moving on, Rich Newnham, San Francisco 49ers fan, but he doesn't like to talk about it. how you
just
doing, Rich?
Happy for Andy Reid.
Someone has to talk about the NFC on this podcast. No one else is going to bring it up.
Can I just say that Russ might have been here and I prepared a little introduction for him. He's not here, but I want to read it anyway. Russ Milsom is a lifelong Broncos fan who has a tattoo of John Elway's face on his chest. I just really enjoy coming up with that. Oh, that's the last pre-prepared introduction you'll get from me this season, I promise.
I like the fact you've prepared one for him and not one for Craig, knowing full well that Craig saying, maybe I'll drop in, definitely won't.
I actually did prepare one for Craig. I was just
Craig. Pretend you didn't.
Yeah, sure.
And then there's Craig.
he might turn up. There's always a chance with Craig.
I hope he does. He's got a good 10 minutes. He's got a good 10 minutes on Aaron Rodgers' left foot.
Well, his ears are currently burning, and Craig, if you're listening through your burning ears, you've got two choices. We can talk about the state of the Jets, or you can come on and talk about the state of the Jets, because one of those things is going to happen. But before...
Can we not discuss Monday Night Football? Is that possible?
It's possible.
There's got to be at least a one-sentence discussion of it.
Yeah, we'll get to all of that. However, it's been a while since the traditional Long Snapper podcast opening, and we're going to have a quiz. Pat, you've got a quiz?
I have got a quiz. I'm not normally glad for the lack of Craig, but for the explaining quiz rules section of the podcast, yeah, it's a benefit. This quiz I've titled General Knowledge Alpha Links. The odd-numbered questions are general knowledge linked with NFL players / coaches / people involved in the sport names as the answers. Even-numbered questions are specifically NFL trivia. Same NFL players, coaches, people linked with the NFL as answers. The final letter of the previous answer will give you the first letter of the first name of the next answer. So... full names, buzz in with your name when you think you have an answer for me, point for each. And we'll start off with...
That sounds reasonably straightforward just for the rules, but there's no way Craig would have got that first time. Like, not a chance.
Just answer the questions, Craig. Right. Question one. Name the Vikings fullback you might find in Sainsbury's opposite the cheese. Or just name the Vikings fullback.
I think you've overestimated us.
Or just name something you find opposite the cheese.
Oh, Mark.
Mark.
CJ Ham.
CJ Ham, Mark gets a point.
Oh, cool.
Setting the tone for the quiz with the first question. I hope you're on my wavelength now. Question
I
two.
Hope they're all supermarket related, general knowledge. General
only food the odd numbered ones, we established this.
Yeah, yeah. I got
question,
that.
Question two. Who sits 14th and 16th in the list of highest single regular season passing yards? And also their name starts with M if you've forgotten the second.
14th and 6th. No, I haven't forgotten that.
Rich.
Rich.
Matt Ryan.
How do you fit 14th and 16th in an all-time... You mean...
You play for more than one season.
And be good.
Yeah.
Am I frozen out or can I keep guessing?
You are frozen out, I'm afraid. One guess per question.
Adam.
Adam.
Matthew Stafford.
Correct.
Yes.
Same player, different name.
Okay.
Elite.
From Matthew Stafford, what former Miami Dolphins quarterback almost shares a surname with a... Mark.
Dan Marino.
Dan Marino almost shares his surname with a breed of sheep. Correct. Question four. Who leads the league all time in rushing yards per game over the course of a regular season? Mark.
OJ Simpson.
OJ Simpson, correct. Mark on three, Adam on one, Rich on nil. New season, same pattern. You're welcome. You're welcome. What quarterback's name sounds like an instruction to steal baby horses?
Mark.
Rich.
Mark.
Nick Foles.
Nick Foles, correct. Question six. Name the tight end who has three Super Bowl wins across two different teams, over 10,000 regular season receiving yards over the course of his career, along with 62 touchdowns, eight of which were in his final season with the Broncos, having returned after 2 years with the Ravens.
Adam.
Adam.
Oh, no, I've shut the bed. I was going to say Shannon Sharp, but it's not.
Was
it
correct?
Oh, is it? Okay.
Shannon Sharp. And it's important for you to remember that Shannon Sharp...
Yes, I know. Don't tell them.
Which former Green Bay running back sounds like a way to fasten shoes that isn't Velcro-y?
Mark.
Mark.
Eddie Lacy.
Correct. 5 points. Mark. 2 points. Adam. Rich. He's, you know, biding his time. Eddie Lacy. Name the defensive end drafted in 2020 by the Carolina
Adam.
Panthers. Adam.
Oh. Changing answer very quickly. Yetur Gross-Matos.
Correct, Adam. Up to three.
I was about to say Yannick Ngakoue.
That's what I was thinking.
I was hoping someone might interrupt me with that. Which veteran Giants receiver would be most useful to get your woolly flock down from the hills?
Rich.
Sterling Shepherd.
Correct.
Yeah!
There he is.
Rich is on the board. And we're on to question 10, and I've scrolled down to question 15 by accident, so bear with me. Who resigned as vice president of NFL officiating to take up a broadcasting job in 2017?
Adam.
Adam.
Dean Blandino.
Correct, Dean Blandino. Which former Tampa Bay drafted in 2017 tight end? What the fuck was the order of the words in that?
Adam.
Adam.
OJ Howard.
OJ Howard, correct. Sorry, confused myself. Question 12. Who was robbed of a catch to allow the Packers to dump the Cowboys out of the... Mark.
Des Bryant.
Yes, Mark takes the lead on six. Which former NFL quarterback and almost tight end sounds like he could play
Adam.
Two violins at once? Adam.
Taysom Hill.
Wrong.
What was the end of the question? Adam shouted over it for me.
It was quarterback and almost... I know what the answer is now, and I'm moving...
Sounds like he could play two violins at once.
I know what the answer is. I hate this. I hate this.
It's Tim Tebow. Rich. Mark, Tim Tebow.
It is Tim Tebow, Mark. Hold on.
He didn't shout his name. I got it at the same time and then...
I'm really angry about that. I've got slobber.
Basically,
everywhere.
No one deserves that point.
No, not really.
Which former Dolphin and current Dolphins wide receivers coach went on to lead the Patriots in regular season total receptions on... Yes.
Oh, no. No, Wes Welker, that's not right.
Correct. That is
They have done that twice.
Yep, well done. Which former Titan and current Texans wide receiver is Robin Hood most likely to live in?
Rich.
Rich.
Robert Bobby Trees. Robert
Indeed.
Woods.
Robert Woods. But they both end in S, so it works fine. Which quarterback from Utah was drafted by Tampa Bay but ended up winning all three of his Super Bowls on the opposite side of the country in San Francisco?
Adam.
Rich.
Adam.
Steve Young.
Steve Young, correct. Adam on 7, Mark on 7, Rich on 2. Neck and neck? Which former Cowboys, Jaguars and Titans tight end sounds like he's just propelled himself
Adam.
Across the body of water? Adam.
Jeff Swaim.
Jeff Swaim is correct. Excellent. Which wide receiver was drafted by the Saints in the second round of 2006? Adam.
Michael Thomas.
Michael Thomas. Adam has a 2-point lead. Mark is copying the bills from last night. What quarterback in the 2023 draft was named after a hat?
Oh, shit. What was the last letter of the last one?
Don't tell
Michael
him.
Thomas.
Oh, hat.
Thanks, mate. I didn't hit, because of that, I didn't hear the question.
What quarterback in the 2023 draft was named after a hat?
Adam.
Adam.
Stetson Bennett.
Stetson Bennett. Adam moves on to 10. Which wide receiver is nicknamed the Cheetah?
Adam.
Adam.
Tyreek Hill.
Tyreek Hill. 4-point lead. Several questions to go. I can't be all the captains. What former Jaguars running back sounds like he could catch fish in front of a boat?
Mark.
Mark.
Leonard Fournette.
Yep, Leonard Fournette. Which former Broncos, Ravens and 49ers pass rusher? Mark.
Oh, no, sorry, I'm wrong.
Okay, good. I'll finish the question then. Which former Broncos, Ravens and 49ers pass rusher finished his career in 2018 having amassed over 100 career sacks?
Broncos, Ravens and Niners.
Indeed.
I thought I might help. I know who it is and I can't remember his name.
The letter isn't... No.
Rich.
Rich.
Elvis Doomerville.
Yes, Rich.
Oh, good shout. 3 points. Good shout.
If you get every single question right, you can tie.
How many are there left?
Which Dallas Cowboys linebacker shames his name with a brain trainer from the Nadam?
Leighton Vander Esch.
Leighton Vander Esch. Adam moves on to 12. Not quite unassailable because Mark has to love him. Which wide receiver born in Seoul was a one-club man, ending his career with 1,000 regular season receptions, 1,283 receiving yards for the Pittsburgh Steelers?
Adam.
Adam.
Hines Ward.
Hines Ward is correct. Five questions left. What former quarterback recently illustrated the wind?
Mark. Drew Brees?
Drew Brees. Yes, sir. Which former Vikings receiver went on to lead the Bills in receiving yards in the 2020s?
Adam.
Mark.
Stephon Diggs.
Stephon Diggs. What NFL owner shares their name with a character from The Jungle Book?
Adam.
Adam.
Oh. Sheikh Khan?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, no, it was Bobby Ballou.
Which two-time Super Bowl-winning former Patriot would be most useful if you were attaching wires to a circuit board?
God. My mind's just gone. I don't know.
I'll time you out. That was Nate Solder. To finish the quiz,
I got solder. No idea who the player was.
To finish the quiz, what NFL kicker are you most likely to find in a field near
Adam.
A dairy? Adam.
Randy Bullock.
Randy Bullock. Adam gets 15, Mark gets 10, Rich gets 3, and I enjoyed myself.
Oh, I enjoyed that. I enjoyed that on many levels.
Excellent work.
I've missed this. Right.
Furious about not getting Nick Foles earlier.
So good.
It's a pity Russ couldn't make it because he'd have fucking loved that.
Oh, that's right up his strata.
He'll get to play when he's listening.
he'll have been furious about some of the ones that we took long pauses over as well.
No doubt.
Yeah, he'll barrage you in the WhatsApp group with it.
I'm still literally wiping spit off my screen for imitating Mark's horse noises. Can't do it.
It's more skillful than it looks, mate.
Apparently so. I mean, whether you care about making a mess or not, really. Anyway, let's move on to a little bit of admin. For anybody that's interested, which I suspect is hardly anybody, but we have been doing podcast picks this year. So just for a bit of fun, we're going to see who wins at the end of the season. And so we've all made 16 picks so far. Just to touch on where everybody is, there's myself and Nate Oro, 5-11. It's not good.
Solid start. That.
It's not great. It's not great. Rich is.
That's really poor.
I mean, you could just toss a coin and you should be 8-8. We're not as good as tossing a coin. Nor are you, Rich, at 6-10.
We should do that for one of the group things then. It still beat us.
Yeah. I mean, absolutely.
Even starting a week late.
Mark, Pat, and Russ, all 9-7. Craig, 11-5. I mean, I assume he picked the Jets. It goes without saying. So he's got one over probably everyone else with that one. But that is exceptional honor. In fact, I reckon if you're 11-5 after the farce that was week one, it actually means you know less about the NFL than, say, if you were 5-11.
Right. Yeah. So your knowledge is less for getting week one right.
Yeah.
Also, Craig's probably not going to remember to do his picks again. So he's got a very, very assailable lead.
Yeah.
just saying.
Yeah.
We also did, on the back of this, someone went, oh, let's do the Survivor Eliminator thing. So we
thanks,
did that.
Thanks for that, whoever sorted that out.
Rich arranged that. It's over.
Yeah. Yes. Congratulations, everybody. That was very exciting.
It's the reason why you always need three lives rather than one, because no one survives week one. Well, apparently Adam does.
I mean, it's a bit of admin that it's nice not to have to do between weeks 2 and 18. So I've won. Great. I picked Washington to beat the Cardinals, and I don't know what.
And they nearly didn't.
And they nearly didn't.
It would have been very funny if every single one of us had got week one wrong.
That would have been better. You're right. Absolutely. So there you go. We'll probably never speak of that again, but we might remember to touch on it and see where we're going. But, you know, the Eliminator is a real quiz, just saying.
Says you at 5-11.
Right, shall we do some one-sentence reviews? Somebody say yes.
Yeah.
Thumbs up. Why not? Work. Thumbs up isn't really helpful on an audio podcast, but maybe we'll release a video one day. Yeah, Jesus. Get ready for that.
I hope not.
Oh, God.
You would very obviously see that Mark and I aren't repping our team's jerseys. Rich is. Pat, you're not. That's surprising.
No, I'm not.
Well, let's talk about these games in a one sentence format. Let's go. Starting in Kansas City, all the way back last Thursday with Detroit 21, Kansas City 20.
The Lions lead by a point as Mahomes gets the ball back with 2.5 minutes on the clock. And of course, we all know what happens next, right?
Carolina 10, Atlanta 24.
The battle of two who gives a fuck teams is won by the Falcons. Good for them.
Houston 9, Baltimore 25. Comfortable for Baltimore, but that Dobbins injury is brutal for them and also, obviously, for him. Cincinnati 3, Cleveland 24.
Turns out you shouldn't give the Cleveland Elves defense any more motivation than it already needs to play Cincinnati. Burrow looks hapless as the Browns roll to an easy win.
Jacksonville 31, Indianapolis 21. Poor Indy. Too shit to even get the Jags-Colts upset script in week one right. Tampa Bay 20, Minnesota 17.
And I'm immediately out of the Eliminator. Thanks a lot, Kirk, you prick.
Tennessee 15, New Orleans 16.
Titans fans might feel robbed by an inexplicable decision by the refs to blow the play dead that would have led to a strip sack fumble for a pick six. They would have been even more furious when it wasn't even overturned after clear and obvious replays.
Quiet. San Francisco 30, Pittsburgh 7.
Remember all that pre-season buzz about how good the Steelers could be? Well, turns out they're actually shite.
Arizona 16, Washington 20.
This was an ugly, 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 ugly game of football, and I resent having had to watch the highlights.
You didn't have to. Green Bay 38, Chicago 20.
You brought that on yourselves, Bears fans. I heard you having hopes and dreams.
Aww. Las Vegas 17, Denver 16.
Two very average teams play out a very crappy game as Sean Payton fails to inspire the Broncos, who lose their seventh straight game to the Raiders.
Miami 36, LA Chargers 34.
Brilliant and bonkers, just as everyone had hoped. And of course, the Chargers managed to charger it away in the dying embers of the game.
Philadelphia 25, New England 20. Really weird game. Philly should have finished the Pats off much earlier, but whether it's week one weirdness, whatever you want to call it, I've read that wrong. Whether it's week... I meant the weather. I've even spelt it right. Hello, Rams.
Oh, amazing.
Hello, Rams 30, Seattle 13.
The Rams show that they might just be more competitive than anyone thought they would be by thumping the much-fancied Seahawks, who only had 12 yards of offense in the second half.
Dallas 40, New York Giants 0. Guess which team I picked in our pick'em. And finally, Buffalo 16, New York Jets 22.
What the fuck, Josh?
Yeah, that's enough. That's enough.
Funny moment from that game.
There's no funny moment.
No, there really was.
Most of them.
There was third and long-ish, and Josh Allen took off, and he was, I would say, about 7 or 8 yards short of the sticks. Two defenders in front of them tried to do the helicopter hurdle over those two defenders to make it like 4th and 5 instead of 4th and 7. Absolutely hilarious.
Yeah, and then you get what's his cock in the broadcast booth going.
Go what's to his the cock.
Whatever his fucking name is. You know, him. Troy Aikman. Basically going, go to ground, Josh. What are you doing, man? Oh. And he's probably not wrong.
It wasn't even the first time that game. He'd run 4 yards on 3rd and 2. And instead of just going out of bounds free, tried to go inside through defenders. Oh, you got 2 more yards, but you're battered as well. And you're like, we've already lost a starting quarterback in this game, mate. Have some common fucking sense.
Why are we talking about this already?
I don't know. I've got off script. Let's go back.
You'd rather wait for Craig?
No.
I mean, who knows where?
Could be here a while.
Yeah. All right. I have got 7 things that I've filed under the category of week one nonsense or worthy of note.
Well, I've got 8 cows.
I've got 104 friends. I mean, this is going well, isn't it?
That was horribly niche.
Right, I have got 7 things. This is me making prep and effort. As you can tell with the intros, I really, really regret this. Right, 7 things that we have got to decide whether it's week one nonsense or if it's actually something of note that we should take seriously. I'm going to stick the timer on it. I'm going to do 3 minutes for each as a maximum. I hope that some won't last that long. Let's start with the Lions beating the Chiefs on Thursday night, the season opener. Now, an upset, absolutely. Rich, you look like you're dying to talk about this one.
Desperate to get into it.
Yeah.
Well, I want to.
It's not even the Niners. What's he doing?
I
presume you didn't watch it.
His hair even more all over the place than normal. It's
all over the place, mate.
Oh, that's true. That's true.
I'm going to annoy Adam by ruining his system and filing this under both, because I think for the Chiefs it's week one nonsense, and for the Lions I think this is worthy of note. I think the Lions are a team, and
they're definitely a team.
capable of making the playoffs this year. Now I think this one shows
now
that they are actually. Yeah, well, I don't think we put them in, did we?
Well, we should have.
Oh, we didn't, but we don't have control over it.
No, it's down to how many games they win and stuff.
that's because all you pricks decided that it should be the Vikings. Some of us said the Lions would win the division.
They were half a game out last year, surely. And they look better. So, yeah, plausible. Weaker division.
Chiefs are the classic coming in undercooked Chiefs that we've come to know and be irritated by. They'll be fine.
It's worse than that, because they keep downgrading their wide receiver every year, assuming Mahomes can compensate for it. And at some point, he can't compensate for it, especially if you take Kelce away.
What can Mahomes do about Kadarius Toney?
17 drop passes, yeah.
That was some of the Kadarius Toney's play. Wow. I'm surprised he's still employed by them after that.
That was Nick Williams against the Bills territory. Any Titans fan will know what I'm talking about.
It was horrendous.
In fact, that was Kadarius Toney's the lowest Pro Football Focus, whatever it is, rating since that Nick Williams.
Pro Football Focus.
Whatever that is.
Alan Hansen gave him 1 out of 10.
What's it called? You know what I mean.
Yeah.
The one that we only take seriously if it suits our narrative. That one.
That one.
But there must be something in it. Yeah, I mean, that was
bad. But the receiving display in general was bad. And you're right, you look at the names across Kansas City now, and if you take Kelce out, and eventually Kelce is going to start to fall off a cliff.
I hope so. He deserves...
He's a horrible...
Literally. not to kill him. I wouldn't wish death on someone, but to just hurt him a bit.
There's got to be a point where even Mahomes can't do it with trash. And as this game proved, he can't do it all on his own. He has to throw the ball to someone. And if they've got hands like 50 pence pieces, you're not going to be able to do very much.
There was one moment, the time's up, but I'm going to say
hands like 50 pence pieces is my favourite bit of mark analysis ever.
In that it bounces off it and goes off in any which way.
All right. Oh, time is up. I'm not going to bother with what I was going to say. There's no point. It's my own rules. I'm going to stick to them. Next.
As an aside, Adam, as an aside on that one, Travis Kelce is definitely going to be one of those guys who ends up with his own podcast in 5 years' time, right?
He probably already has one.
I'm sure he's got one.
I bet it's with his prick of a brother. I bet.
Yes, it absolutely is.
It exactly is.
Oh, God. I'm glad I haven't found that.
You don't have to listen to them just because they exist, though. It's fine. It's the same with Pat McAfee.
And us.
Good advice.
Well, I listen to us.
Are you the other person who doesn't understand the Pat McAfee thing?
I don't understand it at all.
He's an absolute insufferable bell end. Yeah,
absolutely. Absolutely.
I thought I was missing it, and everyone else thought he was ace.
No, he's just a prick
that didn't get it. Fine. I mean, I am the prick that doesn't get it, but I genuinely didn't understand the Pat McAfee thing. So good, I'm pleased. I'm pleased we cleared that up. Carry on.
Right, we're four pricks who don't get it. It's fine.
Yeah.
I don't know why I stopped the clock, because I'm more than happy to eat into the time for the next one. The Atlanta Falcons won convincingly.
Who cares?
Just not bother. Let's just move. Yeah, I agree.
Was it convincing, really?
I don't care. Move on. Right, yeah. That's fine. what's next? This one's worthy of some discussion. Tampa Bay going into Minnesota. And, little shout out. And I know I shared this in multiple WhatsApp groups, for which I do not apologize. But Andrew Catalan coming out with the, throwing around some numbers at halftime with Matt Ryan next to him in the booth.
That
going,
was great.
Well, you could have believed this game would have been sort of 28-3, but it's not. And Matt Ryan's face. Because the cameras are on him. He manages to sort of swerve it quite brilliantly, to be fair to him. But what a little piece of shithousery from Catalan. I absolutely love that.
So I think that this is, if you recall, I thought the Vikings were going to be were overhyped this year going into it.
This is early for the Mark Salen smug "I told you so" part of the season. Normally that's a couple of weeks' time.
It hasn't taken long. But I with the Bucks, as we covered when we discussed that conference, I've tried to blank it from my brain. Their roster's not terrible, and if Baker Mayfield can perform, they've got a reasonable team that is going to win some games. Baker Mayfield wasn't horrible in this, especially towards the end. He actually put some decent drives together, and that is going to be enough to beat some crappy teams in the NFC. And I think that's all this was. And I think that we're probably going to see the Vikings went 11-0 in one score games last year. They've already lost one this year. I think that's probably going to be a pattern that we see repeated. They're
Vikings, you heard it here first. The Vikings are going to go 0-11 in one score games this year.
Yeah, correct. That's fact. Put your mortgage on it. I think they're both going to end up with really fairly average record. Baker will fall off a cliff at some stage.
And week two, I imagine.
And the Vikings are just a really meh team.
Yeah, I guess I was too high on the Vikings and too low on the Bucs pre-season. But the big question mark for me in this game is how long before Baker Mayfield gets Mike Evans killed? Because he just kept throwing 8 foot in the air for no reason and just leaving his body wide open to make those catches. That is a recipe for getting your receivers taken out of the game. And if you lose an Evans and or a Godwin from that team, and they're both fairly fragile, you're not going to keep winning games.
The thing about that is that he's normally just massively overthrowing people who can't jump as high and reach as high as Mike Evans. So Mike Evans is actually able to come down with the ball, whereas previous wide receivers haven't managed it. I don't think either of these teams are much more than a bit better or a bit worse than average. I don't put much store in this for changing how I feel about either of them.
NFC in it, whatever. Doesn't matter.
It's your fucking agenda, mate.
You're more than welcome to contribute to it and do your bit, but no, I'll carry on. Right, next up.
Do you remember we used to share the agenda beforehand and like?
I did. I
did. It's in the WhatsApp group.
Oh, was it?
10:36. Didn't we have that. Hours of notice?
Didn't read that.
Mark was too busy with his curry.
Exactly.
11 hours ago.
That's when I started.
He's been eating it all day.
All day.
And it's a file as well. Your mouth is absolutely on fire.
I'm recording this from a Jimmy Spices, the place
from
where
the toilet.
Go. Yeah, just keep piling on more curry.
Did you read fairly about hot that? Medium?
Yeah.
Did you read about that potato chip that's so spicy they've withdrawn it from sale that they've been selling it as a challenge that you buy this like black Dorito that's the spiciest thing you'll ever taste?
Yeah.
I read about this. eBay and Amazon have banned selling it. All I want to do now is to buy one and try it.
Well, they've withdrawn it from US sale because some kid died after eating it. And so now they're blaming they're blaming the chip on him dying.
It's like, a bit like there was that coffee house in Scotland, wasn't there, that had this challenge and someone died, didn't they? And it was like,
yeah,
similar thing.
If you can't take something that's pretty fucking horrendously spicy, I mean, you're probably going to die at some point anyway.
So if you don't hear Mark probably. Talk for a while, if you don't hear Mark talk for a while, no, that's not feasible, is it? Right. Next. What is that? What is next in my agenda? Cleveland smashing Cincinnati. There you go.
I mean,
weather and all that. Again, there was a bit of weather around in week one.
Joe Burrow not fully fit.
Yeah.
I think it's more that than the weather. I think it's also more that the Bengals are self-entitled pricks who decide that the best thing to do is go out of their way to motivate the opposition on the eve of a game by belittling them or saying like silly comments that you know full well is going to get, you know, the traditional pinned up on the locker room, and players love it when other teams do that. And Myles Garrett was excellent.
That whole Cleveland D was ferocious.
It was ferocious. And
an already half decent defense, and that's
exactly
what you're going to get
against an offensive line that still isn't phenomenal. And I think they were the architects of their own downfall. Yeah, it rained, but I don't think it was the same for both teams, and the Browns cope with it far better.
Weather conditions are the same for both teams.
Exactly, that's how it works. That's the rules of weather.
Unless you've got some very skinny bands of rain coming in, just long enough for a drive.
Yeah,
that's moving very quickly to be long enough for a Cincinnati drive.
I just thought they looked really rusty and really average. I think they'll get better, obviously, but I don't think it's necessarily indicative of how they will perform. I do think the Browns are better than a lot of people will give them credit for.
Their defense, their run game is. The good news on this is Deshaun Watson still looks shit.
Yes.
He got a win, but like more by carrying than by doing the carrying.
Well, that was the hope for the Browns, wasn't it? That he would have shaken off the rust at the back end of last season and come into this season looking, you know, fully back to the player he had been. And maybe it'll take a few games, maybe he never will, and it'll be hilarious if he never does because of that contract.
Fancy, you know, selling your franchise's 5-10 years of future on a quarterback who you're not convinced if they're going to be that good anymore or is potentially injury prone.
It's fine. He'll just get a massage. Don't worry about it.
So, and you're just talking about his play there, let alone the other stuff. Christ. Cincinnati, my reaction is that this is a bit of week one weirdness, and like you say, a perfect storm. Yes, they were stupid with the locker room fodder stuff, but yeah, they're not. It's not like they've become a bad team overnight who's going to stink it up for the rest of the season. Far from it. I don't believe that for a second. This is
not with those weapons on offense and that pass rush. You're not going to stay mediocre.
It will make the AFC seeding race much more interesting though this first week.
Well, I mean, all the four favorites in the AFC all lost, didn't they? The Bills, the Chiefs, the Titans, the Bengals, all surprisingly went 0-1 when you didn't expect. So this is what you're going to get. I've definitely stolen that joke. Green Bay next up for discussion. The next 3 minutes on a really good looking Jordan Love and a fantastic win in Chicago. Tough opener for them. Well, kind of love to. I mean, do you love to see it? Is it that Green Bay have got a bit like, I don't hate them because they're in the NFC, but I don't hate them at all. But they're starting to get those Indianapolis Colts vibes of having two incredible quarterbacks for so long. You deserve a bit of misery. And my fear is that they might have had, and I know it's very early, but do they have another one in Jordan Love?
He was decent. He was calm. He was kind of what you'd expect for a guy who's sat for that extended length of time. So he hits the ground running faster than the genuine rookies. Mm. He's had a bit more time to understand the difference for the NFL game speed. And the biggest surprise was their very junior receiving core was so reliable for him. You compare that to what Mahomes had. And like, even without Christian Watson, their QB1, they still had Dubs playing really well. And, you know, they had enough options to comfortably dispose of the Bears. Now, whether that's because the Bears are a lot pishier than expected, than some people expected, Ben, is another question. But, you know, Green Bay had a good balance of run and pass, and that caused a lot of problems all day.
It's almost funny, I think, how the wide receivers suddenly look all right when they're not being belittled every week by an arrogant twat in Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah. Well, maybe, yeah.
There's an element of that.
But some of them are some of the sort of second year guys like Christian Watson. Okay, yeah, he didn't play, but yeah, some of, as you say, Pat, they're a young receiving core. Maybe they haven't been battered into submission by Aaron Rodgers for too long.
But large amounts of that offense has been Aaron Jones and the run game, and it continues to be so. I mean, obviously, Love threw some touchdowns, but he didn't have a massive passing game. It wasn't like a 350, 400-yard game for him. He was serviceable.
But he just looked assured, didn't he? Like
He looked comfortable, but he didn't have to do too much. What will be interesting will be to see when they come up against a team that has a lot of firepower and offense that all of a sudden he has to put the game on his shoulders, and then how does he look?
Yeah. I think it's going to take a lot to do that against that Green Bay defense, though. That Green Bay defense is solid.
Mm-hmm. Mm. The NFC North, we said, Mark, you might be smug about the Vikings or whatever, but we all said how unpredictable the NFC North seemed. Like, there are four teams that are all potentially all right. We still don't really know who's going to come out on top. The reaction from week one is, yeah, the Lions are great, like you said, Rich. There's a bit of reaction to, I don't know if you have the same vibe about the Packers, because the Lions have just beaten the Kansas City Chiefs. The Packers have just beaten the Bears. No offense. So maybe
some teams
not,
just have
still...
that. Some teams just have that hoodoo, and the Bears could come out next week and look really, really competent. We just don't know.
The Lions, to me, look the cream of that division, and I think they'll take some snopping.
It's hilarious to pick up alpha wide receiver and be all showy about it all offseason, and then target him twice in week one.
the thing about the
time is up.
That...
Time is up. By the way,
yeah, fine.
Just
yeah, that's fine.
I was waiting until Rich started. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. I'm Fuck kidding. You. There's plenty of Rich both. There's plenty of you all and me. Right, next, Raiders. Oh, I'd rather speak about the Packers and Bears for another
Both but these teams were quite shit. The Raiders were slightly better. That's basically how it went.
Were they though? I'm not sure. I'm not sure they were.
They won, so they were. But like the stats were very, very similar. Denver were very, very boring. Both teams committed a lot of penalties, and it was just a game that I wish I hadn't chosen as the game I watched live in that late slot. Jesus. I know. I don't know why I did it. I do know why I did it. It's because I like Turner.
The Dolphins-Chargers game was rubbish.
I mean, you wouldn't have enjoyed that.
At the same time.
Yep. But I like lower league football as well. You know, it's my wheelhouse.
Are you one of those guys when Champions League football's on, you'll go and watch like Dortmund versus like Bordeaux?
No, he watches Stevenage when Champions League football's on.
I definitely switched from watching Champions League football to listening to League One games on a Tuesday night on TalkSport 2 when that became an option. Yes,
there you go.
Should we knock that one on the head? I think we can.
Yeah, both pish. Yeah. Move on.
Right. Commiserations to both teams.
Yeah.
All right, Rich, go for your life. LA Rams, your favourite team, beating another of your favourite teams in Seattle on the road. I don't think any of us saw this coming.
I am surprised by this, but then I talked to a Seattle mate and he said the Rams always just have one over on them. They're one of those like
you have a Seattle mate.
Yes, surprisingly. I didn't know he was a Seattle Seahawks fan when I met him. In fact, I don't think I was following the NFL when I met him. He's pre my NFL days years, and I just figured that, you know, I better keep him around. He seems like a nice chap. But yeah, he said
not
the Rams
now.
Just always
not
said
now.
It's like the Jags Colts thing of just it doesn't matter whether the Rams are good or bad, they'll always beat the Seahawks. I don't know. The Rams look pretty good. Stafford looked like his arm doesn't have the issues that he seemed to have all last year. Some of the throws he was making were genuinely impressive. Like there's one that he slots.
He's an elite quarterback. Why is anybody surprised by this?
He's not here yet, mate.
And it's also considering who he's throwing the ball to.
Yeah, although is it Nakua?
Nakua, yeah.
Thank you. Yeah. But he's a rookie, so you know they might have found an absolute gem there.
But he's still a rookie, and he's not a rookie. He's not one of the ones the rookie that was like heralded coming out of college.
Fifth round pick.
Brett Coleman had him really highly ranked, but
good old Brett.
You know, 10 out of 15.
We don't talk about Brett enough.
Not what you expect many rookies.
Can we have a Brett Coleman segment?
I think a whiskey.
I think my favourite thing about this is that it fucks over the Rams' attempt to get as high a pick as possible, and it screws over the Seahawks' playoff run a little bit. Not that I don't think it'll really derail them that much. I don't think they're a bad team. I think they were just undercooked coming into this one. I think they took the Rams for granted because, like all of us, they thought there was shit all talent there.
I'm not convinced they don't have a Geno problem. Sorry, Pat. I'm not convinced they don't have a Geno problem. He was beginning to show signs of slowing down towards the end of last season. I wasn't impressed with him at all. Like I said, I think I said they only had 12 yards of offense.
I think he caught people unawares at the early part of last season. I don't think anybody expected, and like teams weren't almost.
He was excellent.
But then he
did fall off a cliff a little bit, and this performance would worry me.
I would love to write him off, but I really can't.
Go on.
No, sorry, Pat, because they'll come back and ruin it for me.
Well, I was just saying, as well as screwing over the Rams getting a higher draft pick, it also screws over my Sean McVay can only do it if he's bought a team agenda, which is the most disappointing thing about the whole thing. He's got that level of performance out of a team with Aaron Donald and Matt Stafford and
that's it.
Tyler Higbee?
Yeah.
Time's up on that one. So just going back to Geno Smith for a minute before we came on.
Oh,
air,
I see. So you can break the rules.
Yeah.
Well, this whole segment's finished. That was the last of the seven.
He does the editing. He's allowed.
True.
Editing.
It's not a democracy, Rich.
Democracies don't work. Dictatorships work. We've established this. I want to just openly admit to falling into a trap of exactly what I criticised off air of what I said about Geno Smith. And I've kind of, and I think, Mark, I don't know if maybe your opinion is clouded by this. Geno Smith had that reputation of being woeful, basically being woeful before he arrived. He was in Seattle last year and got the beat Drew Lock for the job. Like, he was embarrassing in New York for both teams. So I think we'd sort of judge him based on past performances. And what we were saying before we started, jokingly, I was comparing Tannehill to Josh Allen because both of them shat the bed at the weekend. But because it's Ryan Tannehill, he's in a lot of people's minds, he's the it's the Dolphins, Ryan Tannehill. He was never any good. Let's throw him under the bus. He's not gonna recover from this. Josh Allen will be fine though. Josh Allen will be, like one performance in isolation is seen differently because of that player's reputation. That's valid. Like, that's valid to have an opinion about somebody, but I think we get into that trap of, we don't move our opinions based on what somebody's actually doing in front of our eyes. We have a perception of somebody based on, and it might be just a media narrative. It might be based on a game we remember from 5 years ago, but whatever it is, it's so easy to fall in that trap. And you just see it with so many of these reactions to week one weirdness, or a certain player has a bad game. Oh yeah, that's just a blip. We know he's better than that. And another player has a bad game. So we knew this all along. And some of it might be right, but I just got to be, not that it matters what we say, because we're just a bunch of idiots, but we need to be a bit careful with this, I think.
I think what you need to do is look at it in the context of the position the player's in. So, like, Geno's got a good wide receiving group, Metcalf, Lockett, and Najigba looks pretty decent. He's got a good, solid tight end room. They've got a good running game, so it's a good balanced offense. So unless the offensive line is absolutely pish, there's no excuse not to be getting decent production out of what he's surrounded with. So if you're consistently not doing that, that's a problem, and that's an indication that you're the problem.
Well, the offensive line there is pish and has been pish for about 10 years. They never invest in it. It's always the thing that I expect them to be just terrible because of, and he coped with it last year. So the question is this a week one blip, or will he right the ship and get back to it next week? I mean, I'm sort of on the side at the moment of, I think he's got a little bit of a grace period because of what he did last year. And I do think for the time being, they won't panic there. But if it gets to week five or six and they've got one or two wins under the belt, I think there'll be loud noises to have Geno being replaced by whoever he could be replaced by.
Which is fine, but if he's not the problem, that's not going to help.
Sure. But fans are fickle and impatient.
And I think we also, you can't overplay, and I think we are a little bit, how good he was last season, especially towards the end of last season. There were problems emerging. Third down is a major issue for the Seahawks. It was a problem at the end of last season, and they went 2 of 9 in this game. That's a continuation of a narrative that was set as something as recently as the end of last season. Now, things should change from season to season, just because that's how it finished shouldn't stay the same. But if the same problems occur with the same cast, you start to look for the reasons why. And it's coaching and it's quarterback, because that's where these things tend to be. I don't want to put the blame at Pete Carroll, because I think he's a better quarterback, a better coach than that.
He's a better quarterback than Geno.
Yeah.
We've all seen the video.
but Geno, he was starting to change his overall career narrative last season. But I think he needs to continue.
This is exactly what I'm getting at. Like, he started to change that narrative, but it takes nothing for it to just be taken, like one bad game and that's it. You're back.
That's my point though. It isn't just one bad game with him. He was trailing off at the end of last season. And I think people forget that because they reached, they got to where they got to, but he wasn't the reason they were winning games towards the end of last season.
Okay.
And perhaps a bigger concern for the Seahawks is they let and very unfancied at the start of a rebuild Rams team score the fifth most points in the game week on them, and that's not this something you expect from a Seahawks defense.
This is their worst home defeat since 2017.
Oh, God, imagine being good.
Yeah, but that place, it's the home advantage there. They don't lose many in Seattle, do they? And if they do, it's not a shellacking like that.
That was something that amused me. The last field goal that they showed in the highlights, of which they managed to miss two, I think, just because, you know, why would you show field goals when you're showing other random clips, was to a backdrop of a 90% empty stadium. Seahawks, 12th man, you guys are sticking out to the end, right?
Oh, but they're not used to it, like you say. They don't know how to deal with being absolutely shellacked.
Yes.
Quick NFC chat, dare I say it. Probably the two top teams in the conference. One looked much more convincing than the other. The Niners very comfortably dispatched Pittsburgh, and I thought that might be a bit of an upset game, actually, if Pittsburgh could win this at Heinz Field. The Eagles, on the other hand, started well and stalled against the Patriots, which I butchered in my one sentence preview. And New England, something like that. I don't know. New England could have won that game very easily, and I don't think they're up to much, in truth. So what happened to the Eagles there? Yeah, it's advantage Niners, isn't it, Rich?
They made Mac Jones look good, which has got to be concerning for the Eagles defense, because that was always the big thing for them, was just being able to put someone under pressure. And we've all seen what Mac Jones does when he's under pressure. I do think it's a concern. I called this out in our preview show, that Eagles defensive line doesn't have the depth it's had in the last two or three seasons. Now, it's week one, you know, maybe they just went in a little bit undercooked, but if they're not getting the level of pressure that they're used to, that defense is not going to be anywhere near as effective as it has been in the past.
Not just their defense, though. Offensively, they weren't quite firing.
Offensively...
Or they took their foot off the gas early, maybe.
Yeah,
but
I can put some of that down to week one weirdness in terms of, you know, we've seen so many really quality offenses over the years that have come in and they've underperformed in the first two or three weeks of the season, and then they click and all of a sudden they go on like a 9-10 game winning streak and comfortably make the playoffs and look really, really good and on form. And I wouldn't be surprised to see the Eagles do that over time. But if they can't get that D-line sorted, they're going to be in trouble at some point this year. As for us, I mean, Seattle just didn't look prepared, which is weird for a Mike Tomlin team. We were all over them defensively.
Pittsburgh, you mean?
Pittsburgh, yeah. What did I say?
Seattle.
often confused.
Yeah. The Steelers just didn't look right, which was really odd for them. But we just seemed to swarm them on defense. I think they went three and out three of their first four drives, and after that it just looked a bit panicked. And you know, Pickens and Pickett are good. They are young. They'll have up and down games, and I think we just got lucky and caught them on a down week.
Two things about Philadelphia for me is that it seems odd that most teams, when you come into it, and the undercooked, it's always the offense, isn't it? So it seems a bit strange for me that it's the defense that are undercooked. However, I don't think it should be downplayed that both their coordinators are new this year, because they both lost both their coordinators to head coach gigs at the end of last season. And also, I'm not going to question Brock Purdy anymore. I kept playing this narrative that teams are going to know who he is now, and is he going to be as good? He was every bit as good in this game. I think he looks like he's comfortably a top 15 quarterback, maybe even top 10 quarterback in the league at the moment. And I won't hear any different. I'm officially a Brock Purdy fan.
Oh God,
oh Christ! He's going to really shit
one
the bed.
Knee-jerk reaction. Shit,
oh, no.
I'm fucked. No, I do think Brock played well. The Steelers did look for some of his tendencies in terms of the way he rolls out, and he seemed to understand that stuff was going to be coming and was able to avoid it. There was a moment when we had someone coming off the edge, free rusher coming off the edge, and Purdy stood there, looked like he was trying to make a decision and then just ducked past the guy, rolled out and just hit a strike to Debo. Yeah. I was like, that looks like a guy who's been playing the NFL for 5 years, not a guy who's played for like 7-8 games.
And is coming off a massive injury.
Yeah. The injury doesn't seem to be an issue. He's not had any real problems with it in preseason. I was surprised. I didn't think he'd be anywhere near ready for week one, and he's fine. So
we have absolutely set him up to fail.
Yeah, thank you guys for that. I really appreciate it.
Brock Purdy plays football like the Jets thought Zach Wilson was going to play football.
Well, like we hope that Trey Lance would play football.
Yeah.
Who?
Like they hope that Aaron Rodgers would play football.
I did read today that the 49ers are signing Ian Book.
Good old Bookie.
Yeah.
Booko. He's amazing.
Might be a practice squad addition, maybe. I don't know. It did amuse me when you consider everything. Anyway, let's move on. Aaron Rodgers. How have we taken so long to get here?
Because he's really old and slow.
he's got older and slower.
Uh huh.
He was on the field for 4 snaps, 5 if you count.
He didn't even complete a pass, and he may never complete a pass as a Jet.
His last pass was caught by Detroit Lions Kirby Joseph.
No, he attempted a pass, which might have been a no play because there was a holding call against the defense. It was incomplete, but so that might be null. That might actually be null and void. So technically, he didn't even complete a pass. I don't know how that. Sorry, he didn't even attempt a pass. You know
oh,
what?
Yeah, true. Yeah, I get it.
I don't know how that works, but he did actually throw a ball, is what I'm saying.
He did. I recorded the Bills pod like on Thursday last week. And one of my predictions was that in the second Bills game, Matt Milano would marmalize him and he'd be injured for the rest of the season. Didn't expect it to happen in 4 snaps in, and it was obviously like it was a different player. But there was something slightly inevitable about Aaron Rodgers ending up with an injury.
It wasn't even a bad tackle.
No, there's nothing wrong with nothing wrong with that.
You can see his leg just giving out. And he's doing is just trying to brace against the hit. Like it wasn't, there was nothing wrong with it. Just his leg gave up.
It was almost like a non-contact sort of injury. Yeah. But the body language when it happened though, because I watched the first quarter in full because the game in 40 wasn't ready yet. Thanks, Game Pass. to be fair, it did go to overtime, so that might be part of that. But my initial reaction was, I watched this because he stood up after the play. It was a sack. He stood up and then he like went down like a foot, like a tactical, I'm going to sit down to create a timeout. And I thought I'm watching this going, you prick. This is going to be nothing. You're going to be back in the game like the next snap. Yeah. And then the next thing they're getting the cart out and looking, you're still making a meal of this. Just get on, just get back on the field, you dick. And then it transpired. And then eventually you see that slow replay of his leg buckling. You think, okay, all right, fair enough. What took you so long to get on the floor was our next thought. But like it is absolutely like for the Jets, it's you can't be any less lucky. There's no scenario that happens that's worse.
No.
As a side question, what's the point in a cart that takes a guy to the mouth of the tunnel that he then has to get off and walk into the tunnel?
I don't know.
What was the point? I feel like the cart went like 12 yards.
Yeah.
And he had to walk the 50.
He's broken. Take him to the fucking treatment room. Jesus.
Either put him in an ambulance from the sideline to the hospital or just hobble those extra 10 yards. It's probably further from the field to the dressing room.
You're right, though. I think from a Jets perspective, considering the build up with Hard Knocks and everything that has gone on, it must be incredibly difficult now when you've got players in the locker room from the Jets saying they would rather have lost and still had Aaron Rodgers fit. I mean, from a Zach Wilson point of view, that's that's difficult to take. If you're a Jets fan, you don't wish that type of injury on anybody, really. And I think that it's given what the competition that it was going to create in as a fan of a team in the AFC East, you were excited for that. And Yeah, it was.
The thing is, they've
must be heartbreaking for him.
It must, but ignoring Rodgers for a second, they've improved everywhere else as well. Their defense was incredible.
Defense is amazing. The offensive line.
Brees Hall's come back from that injury. He looked great. Like, he might have gone the distance on one of those carries if he was 100%, but he's not far off it, is he?
No.
Alvin Cook looked good. Garrett Wilson, what a catch. Like, contested catch in the end zone.
Phenomenal.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. Like, they look like everything else seems to be going so far their way. And then this happens. I do wonder, like, how we always say, like, a team, it's almost a running joke. Are they a quarterback away? But they literally are, and they've got that, and they've got a quarterback.
No.
Can they get...
They're not a quarterback away. I think that, I mean, they definitely are now, but the fact that that offensive line was letting our pass rush get to them, like, I think two of the four snaps that he faced, we were in his face.
Well, this is where it's hard to judge because it's really, really, really small.
But we continue to do it against Zach Wilson, and the Bills D isn't bad by any stretch of the imagination, but I think they do have some issues still on that offensive line.
Maybe, but they've certainly improved. And like,
the defense is incredible, but I think they're done. I don't care what anybody else says about them still having a chance. Under Zach Wilson,
this is my next question. Like, I think with Zach Wilson, they could win games. They might win more games than they're not going to the Super Bowl, are they? So. No. Is there, given that they've already gone all in with everything they've done, like they've thrown the dice by getting Rodgers, they've thrown like signings like Dalvin Cook, like they smack like we're trying to win stuff. Yeah. Like, do they give up at this point and roll with Zach Wilson? I don't see what that achieves. Can they go out? Is there somebody they can go and get? Like, is that something that might happen? Like, can they trade for a quarterback? Can they? Who? Is there anybody? Is there a free agent that?
Who? Is Brady on? Is Brady or nobody? I think.
The problem,
it's Philip Rivers.
the issue that you have with trying to go out and get another quarterback is that you have used almost all of your cap space in order to get Rodgers, so you don't have that ability. You might have the trade. You know, you might have the trade capital to do it, but you don't have the cap space to get someone genuinely talented. I think you have to roll with Wilson. The issue with that is. I mean,
even if it's someone average, like who's just better than that, is there something?
Any of them are. Is Matt Ryan better than that? I don't think. Carson Wentz better than that? No, I don't think they are.
I think you know what all those guys are now already. What you don't know is whether, because I think there's a little bit of this, and I've said this elsewhere. I think there's a bit of the fact that Zach Wilson, for his first 2 years, had all the pressure of, oh, this guy is our franchise guy on his shoulders. When they brought Aaron Rodgers in, all of that was taken away. He's not expected to be that franchise guy anymore. He was expected to be a guy who might be able to sit behind Rodgers for 2 years and then see where we're at. And maybe
he sat behind him for four snaps, not 2 years.
My thing is that there's an element of taking some of that pressure and some of that expectation away from him that might actually allow him to relax into games a little bit more, play a little bit better. I mean, he was up and down in this one, but he definitely wasn't prepared for, you know, what was going to happen, but no one was. The problem is that I think even if Zach Wilson is a better version of Zach Wilson, losing Rodgers means you probably lose two or three games that Rodgers would have won you by being Aaron Rodgers. And that in the AFC is probably enough to drop you out of the playoff places.
I don't see any reason to expect Zach Wilson to be better, but I think you're right that, and the point Craig made as well, that they didn't spend that much capital to get Rodgers in. It felt like a fairly good deal for the Jets at the time, but it does tie up their first and second round picks because of the conditional nature of it, although it's going to be a second now.
Second round
pick now, going to play 60%. But they can't trade the first round pick just in case. So that means it's very difficult for them to get in a quarterback of a reasonable standard unless it's a free agent. And you look at the free agents and go, well, yeah, it's not going to get you any more wins than Wilson's going to get you.
It's also tricky for them financially because of the way that they got the deal, because he was trying to be team friendly. A lot of his money is next season.
Yeah.
So it's if he decides not to come back, and I think there's a good chance he never throws a ball in the NFL again, because if you were his age, knowing that you've come off bad injuries before, are you going to want to go through all that again just on the knowledge that you could go out next season and it could all happen again straight away? And there's an increased chance of it happening again because it's happened once. Is he that guy? I'm not so sure he is. But if he goes, that's so much dead cap for the Jets. It fucks them for 5 years.
They, based on how they've gone about this, they can't think about next year. Are they not they can only think about this year?
But it's Zach Wilson. He's their man.
It might be an LA Rams thing of just like, screw it. Whatever we can possibly do, this is it. And next year and after that is write it off.
But who's got a quality QB that's gonna trade them now? 1 week in, because anyone who thinks they've got a chance is going to hold on to their QB. I mean, maybe the Rams. Can you imagine if they traded for Stafford?
That might be even funnier than Philip Rivers.
I mean, like I said, I don't like. It's horrible for Jets fans, and I think it's really bad for the NFL.
It's terrible for the NFL. Can you imagine how furious anyone in NFL's general commercial group, like that was one of their massive narratives for the entire season. And now it's four snaps in.
The whole thing about although the quality in the AFC East and the quality in the AFC in general, could how good were the Jets going to be and how far were they going to get? And for it to go so early does feel like it. I mean, you could feel it in the stadium.
The atmosphere was incredible at the start of that.
The start it was amazing, and there was the whole 9/11 stuff going on, and it was like it was amazing. And for it to get blown up like that, and it felt like, honestly, I went into it.
Can't believe
you
just said 9/11 and blown up in basically the same sentence.
Rich, come on, you're better than that, man.
No, he's
I thought
not.
You were better than that.
I felt like the Bills were getting almost like lost in it or watching it, because their first drive they did nothing, and then it like there was a couple of like interesting plays that the Jets had, and then all of a sudden the atmosphere got sucked out the room. It was I feel bad for him, man, but you know what you feel like if it was your team, don't you? And like you go into it with all these expectations, and then all of a sudden you've got that, like genuinely feel like you can mount the Super Bowl. And deep down, Jets fans know that they ain't. Then, you know,
I can't think of like a comparable injury, not in terms of like how serious the injury is, because I saw Adam Schefter's tweet. I'm not going to, like, that was just,
good old Barry.
But, yeah, I actually can't remember a sort of like an injury that so has impacted a team in quite that way. Like Tom Brady did his ACL that year in week one, but the Patriots had won 17,000 Super Bowls in the previous 3 years, so you didn't care so much. Like the Jets,
I compared the build up to when the Jags got Nick Foles in terms of the fan base's reception of it. And I know
similar,
you can't compare
basically
Foles
the
and Rodgers, right? You can't, but
you can when Nick Foles goes to the Jets for week two.
You got
they've won the same number of Super Bowls.
Thank you for finishing my sentence for me. Yes, you got in a guy who'd won at other franchises, and it gave you this massive jolt of hope that you hadn't had for ages, and then you lost him in the first game. So it's similar, except we had Gardner Minshew as a backup, so we were in a better position.
You absolutely were.
Yeah, it may have seemed, I don't want to rubbish what you just said, but it doesn't seem similar from an outsider looking at that, comparing Nick.
But from a fan base's perspective, you can totally see what you mean.
You've got that level
of expectation, right? And all of a sudden, that expectation is gone so quickly. And you think,
the difference is,
well, what's the point of this season anymore? And just being a sports fan, sometimes it.
The difference here is the expectation wasn't just at the Jets; it was everywhere. NFL, the media's expectation, worldwide viewers' expectation.
And that's it for them, I think. And it's hard. And this game, they would have lost the game if it hadn't been for special Josh playing schoolboy football. They would have lost this game and they'd have been like even more down in the dumps. And so I think it was nice of the Bills to give them that little lift when they needed it. It was kind of Josh to do that.
Such a giving franchise.
Absolutely right. Yeah, we're all about the people.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. I mean, you guys love the Jets, right? Your bestest buddies is...
Big fans. Mm-hmm. That's why we did that.
I'm with Pat on the... like. This one feels bigger because the NFL and all the national media have been hyping this up since it happened. But this is not the first time a franchise has traded, done a fairly big trade, given a guy a big deal, and then everything's fallen flat on its face very early on. And it does annoy me a little bit that Aaron Rodgers, being the special one, is given all of this extra attention when he's not been the real Aaron Rodgers probably for 2 or 3 years now. And we didn't know that he definitely would be.
But this...
What's frustrating is we never got to see whether that was the case or not.
But that's a good point. There was a genuine chance that he would stink it up anyway. And we never got to find that out.
Right. That's part of why I'm disappointed by this. It would have been a really fun watch throughout the whole of the season, whether he was good or terrible.
And that's one thing that Jets fans are going to have out of all of this, is that they're going to be able to say, yeah, but if he'd have stayed we'd have won the Super Bowl that year. Do you remember it? We'd have been brilliant.
Oh, God, there's going to be... whoever wins the Super Bowl, there's going to be an asterisk that Jets fans are going to put on it. Yeah, but we'd have won it if Rodgers had... Oh, God.
Yeah.
If you boo your team against divisional rivals in the game they go on to win, you don't deserve nice things anyway.
Yeah, I heard some booing from fans of... who else was it? The Ravens. I heard the Ravens fan base booing because they just kicked a field goal rather than going for like some ridiculous play late in that game.
Justin Tucker, of course you did.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, and you're also winning comfortably against a team who's looked like doing nothing on offense. Why are you booing?
It's not like the freaking NFL
fans are idiots.
Oh, they really are. Titans fans in the last 48 hours, like, honestly, you do wonder. But I think it's probably even worse if you're a Cowboys fan or a Pats fan.
Bill's Twitter at the minute is a cesspit.
Oh, yeah. Well, you're going
through
it.
Can you imagine? Yeah. Oh, my God.
Your special teams coach is basically being dragged to, some pit and being thrown in there at the start of the next game.
It's not just the special teams coach, it's the offensive coordinator, it's the head coach, it's the quarterback, it's the offensive line.
Jesus Christ.
It is, yeah.
But it's so, these things are so different when you're in that fan base. Like, it seems so much worse. The rest of the world actually isn't piling in on you like you think they are, because it isn't like, you're not the only team that shat the bed in week one. There are plenty of teams that shat the bed in week one.
Every top
stand
AFC
out
team.
All four of them, as I said. I don't want to talk any more about the Tennessee Titans performance, but I do want to rant about referees and the 10-point swing. Now, you've got to overcome these things to win football games, haven't you? But when a refereeing piece of incompetence literally changes the game by 10 points and you go on to lose the game by 1 point, I think you're well within your rights to be a bit miffed. You kind of told the story in your one sentence preview, Rich, but it was, who's the guy? Gene Steratore on CBS, Dean Blandino said the same thing. They've all come out these are actual referees, like referees who have refereed the Super Bowl, saying that they've just got this wrong. Like, it's so wrong. Like, Pat, we argued argued might be a exaggeration, but week 18 Jags Titans game, the Josh Dobbs fumble in inverted commas. You could argue that and the Derek Carr thing are the same. I think you could compare the two, and there's no way on earth that Josh Dobbs is any more... which way around am I talking before I'm too angry to articulate? There's no way you can set, like, if anything, Carr's is a much more obvious fumble than Josh Dobbs. So at the very least, give it the same outcome.
Yeah, the right thing to do is to let it play out and then look at the replay and make the right decision. And they did that in the Jags game.
They not only didn't let it play out, but then they didn't make the right decision afterwards.
Yeah, and it's not consistent across the league. That's part of the problem. Like, Josh Dobbs got a fumble that was very similar to the one in the Jags game, and that was just a fumble. Trevor Lawrence fumbled in a similar fashion. It landed in Tank Bigsby's hand. They still didn't blow the play dead. It was battered out of his hand, and DeForest Buckner took it in for a touchdown, diving in at the pylon like a fucking tight end. It was very good. And the referees did exactly the right thing, which was let it play out, looked at it afterwards, made the right decision on it. So the fact that this one team has made this massive blunder is bad. And particularly since they have refereed it differently to everyone else in the league, seem to. The worst thing about it is, having looked at the replay, they doubled down on it and tried to cover their own arses instead of making the right decision.
That's what it smacks of to me. This smacks of, we should have blown this dead shit. But if we don't overturn it, then that doesn't make that error look so bad. That's what it smacks of. It honestly does.
It makes it worse. It definitely makes it worse.
Except you've got the entire media and all the fans looking at it, and fans, completely neutral fans, looking at it and going, that's clearly a fumble. You can see that he's just pushing
the ball forward with a closed hand. Ruling on the field stands card, haven't they?
But it's the thing that gets me about that is the NFL has done often a fairly good job of We overturn clear and obvious mistakes. Clear and obvious mistakes is like, and I like that. I want that for like the Premier League and VAR, just only when it's really clear and obvious. This was so clear and obvious that the first replay I saw, I went, well, that's clearly out. And then every other replay I saw after that confirmed it to me that it was. And then I was confused as to what the fuck was going on when the next play was available.
There were other consequences of this in the game. So Mike Vrabel was so confident, everyone who saw the replay is like, well, I'm already annoyed because the touchdown's not going to stand, but I'm still going to throw the challenge flag to get the turnover.
Sure.
But it wasn't like it was the other thing. It wasn't like it was a 20-yard return for a touchdown. It was like a 90-yard return for a touchdown. So you then like, we now, instead of having 7 points on the ball, we're going to try and drive down the field with an inept offense. So there's that. but then the other consequence of this was, because they didn't overturn it and they doubled down, was we didn't have any more challenges. He'd already used one up on the first play of the game, literally the kickoff, to overturn an incorrectly called fumble, which they looked at and did overturn it. But because he'd thrown, you can only throw, unless you win both, you can only throw two challenge flags. Only if you win them both. But he won the first one, and because he didn't win that second one, we're out of challenges.
Why is that rule as well? I've never understood that. Surely if you win a challenge, you should keep it.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it doesn't make any sense. If you win, only if you win both do you get a third.
Which is ludicrous.
So because of that, with no challenges for the rest of the game. Right.
I'm not convinced that the Titans would have ended up winning this.
Had that happened, 100%. Because
I genuinely am not. Like, I think it would have been, it still would have been a very tight game regardless. I just think it sucks that you didn't get the chance to find out.
I'm not having that. That's ludicrous. 13-3 became 6 apiece in a game where, for as inept as our offense was, our defense was absolutely on fire. And with a 10-point lead, we'd have coasted that. It might have been ugly, but I'd have enjoyed it, and it wouldn't have been many points in it because we weren't going to score many points, but that would have been enough, honestly.
The Saints' number one seed juggernaut rolls on.
The Saints were okay.
Yeah,
but like Derek Carr is serviceable. Like he could have. It was a weird. Like he quietly ended up with 300 passing yards.
Michael Thomas is still alive. Who knew?
Yeah,
and good. Apparently okay again. Yeah, if he can stay healthy, he'll be a useful piece there. He's not going to be the receiver he was, but
he had a couple of big plays in the first quarter, and that was pretty much it. Olave looked really good.
Is Thomas in the slot now for them? I'd assumed that that's where they'd move him. They should.
Some of it, probably.
He'd do really well there.
I think he's a bit all over the place, isn't he?
But the Saints' defense is good. I think that, like, I think, yeah,
it's great.
I said good, not great. So,
steady on, temper that.
should we stop talking about the Titans now? Let's move on.
Please, yeah. Hey, well, any other NFL business that we want to talk about, Pat? We haven't really mentioned the Jags win, other than in passing with the Lawrence fumble. You got it done in the end.
It was a stressful one. The defense was really good. The defensive line was a lot better than I expected. The offensive line was as bad as I expected, and Brandon Scherff got hurt. So it was just a carnage of a game where two teams had much better defensive lines than offensive lines, and both offenses struggled as a result. And yeah, it took us a while to get going and get over the hump, but they got there in the end. It's the most stressful 10-point win I've ever had. And the kind of the glass half full look at it is like, we scored the most points we've ever scored in Indianapolis. We broke a 6-game losing streak in Indianapolis and we won by 10 points and the offense didn't play that well. So all of that's great. The negative half glass half full side of that is, if we do that against the Eagles or the Cowboys, someone with a good pass rush, we lose by 30. And that's
possibly a nice week one matchup for you. You've got
Chris Jones is back for the Chiefs. So,
yeah, you've got the Chiefs next, exactly.
Based on the rest of the AFC South, I think you'll be all right.
Yeah.
Like, you'll win that division. Doesn't really matter whether you go 11-6 versus 9-8, you'll still win it.
It'd be nice to have some home playoff games though.
One quick question, if I may. Do we think the Cowboys are that good or are the Giants just that bad?
It was a weird one, wasn't it?
List.
It's just the worst thing that could possibly happen to them basically every drive. So
it's such
an anomaly of a performance, even by the Giants' terrible standards.
But it wasn't the same thing that kept happening. Like Whitehead kept intercepting Josh Allen. It wasn't that. There were different things. There were different things going on. Block punt, throw that in there, and everything that could go wrong did. It was just one of those.
I quite
enjoyed it.
It sucked for the Giants that it happened against the Cowboys in particular. The Cowboys D is high quality.
It hasn't
got any worse than it was last year, and it was pretty fucking good last year.
Micah Parsons is something else.
So I do think there's an element of that. There's an element of it being week one. There's an element of it just being fucking hilarious because you put that game on in prime time, and it's an absolutely shellacking, dull, it's over before the end of the second quarter kind of game. The NFL must have been furious about that. So that
they deserve for putting that game on Sunday Night Football week. They deserve what they got. Yeah,
exactly.
To be fair, though, it's like the most understandable Giants Cowboys primetime game we've had in a decade, right? Because they were both playoff teams last season. No one expected the Giants to have descended quite that badly.
I'm so pleased they did.
I'm not disappointed.
They put that on, and I can sort of understand from that perspective that they put that on, and yet they had Dolphins Chargers that they could have put in prime time. And I'm glad they didn't, because it meant we got to enjoy it, but they should have put that in prime time.
Correct.
I think I missed that off my... Anyway, we've talked for far too long about week one.
I can't believe that didn't get talked about.
How have we not talked about the Dolphins Chargers game?
Sorry, Pat.
It's exactly on brand for this podcast to ignore the best game of the week completely and just talk about the shit stuff. And on the subject of shit stuff, one narrative I haven't seen anywhere is part of the reasons the Broncos lost was Sean Payton's ego, because he kicked Brandon McManus out of the door and then tried two other kickers and then traded for Will Lutz in desperation and his old mate. And he's gathered his old mates, and then Will Lutz missed two kicks and they lost by a point. Brandon McManus, 100%. So... he's hurting them. And the offense didn't look any better with the changes that they've made.
Yep.
I'll disagree.
There we go. Final bit of week one chat. So, Dolphins, Chargers? No. Let's just go back to the Broncos and how...
That was a bonkers game. The Dolphins, to me, looked like the...
No, we're not talking about that. Other than to say... Kevin Harlan's great, isn't he?
Oh, thought he was going to blow up many, many times. It's a good job that like they had to, the game ended, because if Tyreek Hill had kept catching the ball, he was going to have a heart attack.
We're not talking about this game, but it's Kevin Hart. If you put Kevin Harlan on commentary in a game where every single play is mind blowing without exception, this is what you're going to get. Oh, I absolutely loved it. Let's move on.
We haven't had any spontaneous human combustion stories for about 10, 15 years now. I felt like that was going that way at one point.
Yeah.
Kevin Harlan's head literally exploding.
Yeah, all of him.
We haven't done a one sentence previews yet. Fuck me, how long are we going on this week?
All right, let's do, all right. You got somewhere to be?
Yeah, I've got bed.
He's got to sleep that curry off, mate. It's going to take like 3 days.
I had a very late night last night. I want to, like, and ultimately it was...
talking then.
All right.
Ironically, we could have started 15 minutes earlier, but someone was eating a curry.
Yeah, we were literally waiting for you.
Let's just get on with it. Come on. Hurry up.
Fucking hell, right. Craig.
All right. Here we go. Minnesota at Philadelphia.
Hold on. Philly's home opener should be a straightforward win against a Minnesota team that's just full of turnovers.
Can you bet a bit faster? Green Bay at Atlanta. It's the Brett Favre Bowl. There you go. An on-brand 1992 reference for you. Las Vegas at Buffalo.
We are the Long Snap Pod, and we're here to watch Josh Allen kick your teeth in.
Baltimore at Cincinnati.
Cincinnati looked bad last week, but the Ravens didn't exactly set the world on fire against the lowly Texans, so both these teams will be looking to get their seasons properly on track.
Seattle at Detroit.
The Lions will fancy their chances to build on a huge morale-boosting victory over the Chiefs by piling further misery on the struggling Seahawks.
Indianapolis at Houston. It's only week two, but the loser of this one has to be thinking about Caleb already. Kansas City at Jacksonville.
The Chiefs will be pumped up for this one. They surely can't start the season 0-2. Can they?
They absolutely can. Chicago at Tampa Bay.
We have to.
LA Chargers at Tennessee.
The Chargers D should find stopping the Titans offense slightly easier than it did for the Dolphins.
New York Giants at Arizona. The Long Snapper Podcast, worst game of the week, brought to you by Ginster's Passes. San Francisco at LA Rams.
Just stop Puka Nacua and you should be grand.
New York Jets at Dallas. Zach Wilson heading to Dallas for the CBS marquee game of the week with Nance and Romo. Just what they had in mind, right? Washington at Denver.
Maybe Sean Payton's offense will be good this week.
Miami at New England.
The Dolphins look the crop of the AFC East at the minute, but the Patriots' defense will be a stern test for those flying receivers.
Miami. No, we just did that. New Orleans at Carolina.
The 2-0 Saints lead the division.
And finally, Cleveland at Pittsburgh.
They've won once since 2003 in Pittsburgh, but Cleveland will be riding high into their NFC North rivals' backyard after a big win against the poor Bengals.
There you go. Happy Mark, got that out of the way.
Yep, cool. Next bit, let's go.
What is the next bit?
Steve Raines.
Steve Raines, let's maybe come back to this next week because I haven't put anything together about
it. I've got it. Almost. You're all right.
My next question is, has everybody placed a bet or decided on one? And I doubt they have. I suspect there are a couple that haven't.
I'm aware of five. So
we've got. Let's talk about those.
We've got the group bet, the division winners. We had four winners and four losers this week, which is very on brand for the pod. So that one's looking fairly ropey to start the season.
Are all the four winners the NFC teams, or did we get three NFC and one AFC?
Jaguars won.
Ah, yes, of course.
Thank you. Thank you for letting me say that again. bet was Trevor Lawrence, 4,000 plus passing yards on the season, Etienne, 1,250 rushing yards and 8 rushing touchdowns on the season, and Calvin Ridley, 8 touchdowns on the season. That means Lawrence, he's 235.3 passing yards a game. He got 241 in this one, so we're on track. Etienne needs 73.5 rushing yards a game. He got 77, so he's on track. He also got a touchdown, and Calvin Ridley got a touchdown. So that one's looking okay. But I'm mostly concerned about Etienne's rushing yards. I wanted to go for 1,000, and that wasn't an option.
If we didn't overanalyze and overreact to week one earlier, we're certainly doing it now.
Rich had MVP Lamar Jackson, Offensive Rookie of the Year Anthony Richardson, Yay. Defensive Rookie of the Year Will Anderson, Coach of the Year D'Amico Ryans. That one is the one that's likely to trip it up, I suspect, of all of them.
I think Lamar, based I would on say his most performance of them. In week one, yeah, no.
Yeah, Lamar, Lamar stank it up. Anthony Richardson might actually, I mean, he's not going to win loads of games there, but he's got a lot of praise so far, so that might be a thing. Will Anderson, right. I mean, you're never going to know the Defensive Rookie of the Year is going to be the second half of the season anyway.
Quite.
D'Amico, I mean, that man could coach the shit out of that team and still not win Coach of the Year.
Mark's bet was similar. Mark went MVP, Jalen Hurts, Offensive Player of the Year, Christian McCaffrey, Defensive Player of the Year, TJ Watt, Offensive Rookie of the Year, Bijan Robinson, and Defensive Rookie of the Year, Will Anderson as well. So it'd be just like the Texans to ruin two bets with one player. But we'll see how that one goes and keep track. And Adams...
I think it's best not to go there.
Adams bet. Joe Burrow, passing yard leader. Joe Burrow is currently 32nd in passing yards with 82. Tua is in the lead on 466.
I'm sorry, Steve.
32nd out of like 33 quarterbacks, though, because he's ahead of Aaron Rodgers, right?
He is ahead
probably,
of Aaron
he
Rodgers.
He probably isn't.
He's ahead of Taysom Hill as well. He also went for Derrick Henry to be the rushing yard leader. Derrick Henry currently has 63 rushing yards in 12th behind Christian McCaffrey by 99 yards.
He's unlucky there because he had a screen that went for a big gain.
Yeah,
so that doesn't count. Just saying.
And the worst bit of it all at the moment is Jamar Chase, receiving yards leader. He has 39. He's 47th behind Tyreek Hill on 215. So a little bit of catching up to do there.
He'll make that up.
And wait, who do we not have? So Craig hasn't done it. Or may have done
from
it,
Craig or Russell, Nate.
Right. Okay. We might get them. I think they were making noises of that ilk.
To be honest, when mine comes in, Craig, it's 3,000. Mine's 3,000 to 1, so that'll cover us.
They're all going to come in. They're all going to come in.
All the different MVPs will all come in.
When you put it like that, sure.
Yeah, why not?
Okay. Right. Are we finally into any other business? I do hope so. Let's start with Rich.
I don't really have particularly. And Mark wants to go to bed. So, all right, I'm just not...
Should we just not do any other business?
Yeah, let's crack on. Let's go to bed.
Not together. Well, separate no, houses.
I like to think
you.
Everyone lives in a big, long snap pod house. We only have one bed.
Just a massive, giant bed.
Massive, giant bed, and we all snuggle. And it's just, and it's very nice.
Except Russ, who's away on a Holiday Inn this week.
The travel time somewhere.
Travel lodge.
Even when he's here, he sleeps in his man cave outside.
Yeah. Imagine that. We'd all be happier, wouldn't we?
I think we would.
I tell you, we'd I know happier. I would be.
Our collective other arms would be very much happier.
Yeah. They wouldn't have to put up with this every week, would they?
Yeah, fair.
Pat, did you have anything worth saying?
I was going to say, public service announcement, check your tyre pressures, because I hadn't done my bike for ages, and it was down
I assumed you meant cars, but...
Okay. Oh, both. All of them. It was down to like a third of what it should be, and I hadn't noticed, and now it's back up to 75, and it's just so much easier to cycle to work. I say to myself, oh, I'll do it once a month, and then I do it once every 9 months. So, Future Pat, listen to this. Check your tyre pressures.
Future Pat's not listening to that.
Yeah. Well, he is. He's going to listen to it tomorrow, and then...
Well, that's no good.
Because I did it on Sunday.
Oh. I just want to get back to that dream of us all living in that big, like, Playboy Mansion-type house. Yeah. We'd have, like, loads of big-screen TVs for NFL Sunday. It would be like the Hippodrome where we'd show all the games. We couldn't do it in Swindon because we'd need decent internet.
Oh, do you know, I finally ditched Swinternet. Got rid of it. It's I've had enough, and I've moved on to. So shout out to Lit Fiber. That's who I moved on to.
God.
Yeah.
Lit.
I'm currently.
They're better than mid broadband.
Yeah. I'm currently paying £5 a month. Well, I will be paying £5 a month less than I was for Sky for gig up and gig down rather than shitty Sky speeds. So I'm delighted it's gone. And I know I've ranted about Sky.
We're
going
to get to see your whole face all in HD. It's going to be wonderful.
It's very exciting. Yeah, I can't wait. I'm absolutely buzzing for the fact that I'll be fucking off Sky broadband.
The only thing better than seeing Mark's face in full HD is just seeing Mark's face in October.
Oh, his actual face.
Oh, yes. For the Bills game. Yeah, of course. Oh,
wow. I'm giddy about that. I'm going to be giddy for another month.
Yeah, it's going to be like 4K Pat is the best kind of Pat.
44K.
In the flesh, isn't it infinite K? Like,
yes.
How do pixels work in real life? Like, they're infinite, right?
I feel like this is the plot for Interstellar 2. Matthew McConaughey's still floating around there going, ooh, all right, how does this work?
NFL
I thought you wanted to go to bed.
I do, let's go, please.
Delirious at this point.
Yeah.
All right.
I'm very tired.
Good. Let's get out of here.
Imagine being that prick who had to stay up to watch that, and then your team does that in the fourth quarter.
Imagine interrupting to extend a podcast you said you wanted to end 10 minutes ago.
I do want to.
Do you want to go? Should we revisit that game? Yeah. Why did you bother kicking that field goal in off the upright that just prolonged the agony?
I don't know.
It hit the flag as well, which is a bit weird. Yeah. Maybe the flag helped it go in.
I don't know. Yeah. Anyway, let's move on.
Well, let's go.
Bye.
Love you. Love you. Bye. Love you. See you all in bed.
I'll put the cocoa on.
Weirdest acid trip thing we've possibly ever done on this podcast.
It's not even close.
It isn't. That's the weird thing.